You know that we are in the topic of the ministry of Jesus, and we spoke about healing, we spoke about deliverance, we spoke about all that stuff there. And now there's one more that I want to share with you, so I'm going to try to break it down and go as short as possible, is the meal sharing. You know, we might not say it is important, but Jesus used the food for a particular reason. And there's a purpose of why he used meal sharing, how he was sits around the table and just shares the gospel of Jesus Christ to individuals. But this morning I want to speak about the ministry of Jesus and meal sharing. And I want to continue to study on the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus preached, he healed people, he made disciples, he did all the basics. But going through the study, I've seen even through the spiritual warfare that we looked at, the deliverance ministry and the healing ministry, those were wonderful topics, and everybody likes to hear things like that. But there's also the meal sharing is extremely important. If it's in the Bible, it's because Jesus, the Word of God, has to speak to us in some way about this meal sharing, okay? So I want to just look at that. So, and I look at the meal sharing, and we never expect it. Is it as important as it is? It is important. Jesus used the meal sharing for a particular reason, and I want to share with you that this morning. And I know that Jesus, I read this book one time. I don't remember the title of it. I just seen a verse or something that says, Jesus is either at a meal, on his way to a meal, or leaving a meal. So it was important that he's always within a meal setting. And he was always eating. He looked like the first Pentecostal, always eating, like us. We're always eating, you know. We love to eat, and we love that. But there's a reason why we eat. Yeah, one is to fill up our belly. But the second thing is that Jesus had another reason why he used the food. He used supper. He used time and breakfast to sit down with the people. And we're going to look through the scriptures this morning through that. We've seen that Jesus had meals with the Pharisees. He also eating with disciples, his enemies, religious leaders, tax collectors, and Matthew. And even in Matthew, he sat with the people. He sat with the sinners, and he ate with the sinners. And there's a reason why he does that, because he came for the sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. So he used food to sit down with the sinners to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the sinners. So that's how churches grow. If we feed ourselves, it's not going to grow. We'll grow spiritually, but we're not doing what we're called to do. We need to use food for one purpose, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to individuals. And Jesus used that, and he sat down with the sinners. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32 this morning. The Lord had another blessing upon his word this morning. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Next verse. And Levi hosted a grand banquet. We all love banquets, huh? For him at this house. Now there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with them. But the Pharisees and their scribes were what? Complaining. To his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus replied to them, I love his response, "The healthy do not need a doctor, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. There's a word that I want to bring out to you this morning. Is we have read it so many times that Jesus was sitting around the table. But in reality, if you look at some versions, he was reclining. The word is reclining, and there's a significance of the word reclining. It means something to us. It's not written just for the fun of it. When you sit, you're sitting the way you're sitting down around the table. But reclining, there's something extremely important to understand. There is an intimacy. There is a closeness. There is a closeness of fellowship. We're reclining together. were reclining. And if you look at it after, I'm going to show you later on with this, some pictures, you would see when they reclined together, they were so close together, as we know that John reclined to the heart of the side of Jesus. That's how close they were together. There's a significance that you and I use the word recline. When you sit at a table, it looks like it's always a bit of business and we're sit around. But there's an intimacy, there is a closeness when there's reclining together, when we're just close together. And Jesus reclined himself with the sinners. Jesus reclined himself with his disciples and the Pharisees and everyone else because he wanted to have this closeness with the people. And it's extremely important for us to understand the word reclining this morning. I wonder what, it, you know, I was trying to understand what it was meaning about that. So let's look at the picture that I want to see. It was so deceiving. When we look at this Leonardo, whatever, you know, Leonardo the Da Vinci that made this painting, we see that it says that they were just sitting around the table. But in reality, the next slide, you look at it, it says that you were reclining of it. And then, give me the next slide, please. The next one after. I'm trying to go faster. Is see how they were sitting? There's a reason why they were sitting that way. And I can just illustrate you. It was on the left side, so they were just like this. On the, I'm going to see if I get down, somebody has to pray to me to get up. So they were like this, and they were eating this way. And all of a sudden, someone else was here. So your face was so close to... You know what I'm talking about. That's how close it was. Because there was an intimacy, there's a closeness together when we look at that. There's a reason why the word reclining for me was there. It means something. Something about his character, his nature. It shows us that he wasn't always rushed. He took his time. And he wasn't in a rush to go, okay, I got to go to the next house and eat. No, he took his time and relaxed and hung out and spoke. And the purpose of all that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the individuals. Now, you and I do a lot. And we go out and we share the God, and we share food and we give food. But what good is it if we share food if we don't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? You're just doing a good deed. We didn't need to do just a good deed, but the purpose of it is using the food aspect is that you allow them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Amen? So it is impossible now to look at us this morning and continue to study and the ministry of Jesus and overlook at this ministry of sharing, meal sharing. So it's important for us to look at that. So verses 27 and 28 of Luke 5, we see after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting on the tax office, and he said to them, "Follow me." So leaving everything behind, he got up and followed him. And then in verse 29, you see a large crowd was and the tax collectors followed him, and sinners reclining at the table with him. So the picture is reclining with a large crowd before we go into this morning message. We are not just talking about hospitality because we have a hospitality. Pastors are supposed to be entitled to do hospitality. We do hospitality, and that's a good part. But Jesus hung out and reclined and ate with the people that the church did not want to be with. It is giving us this model that we not only eat to eat with our friends, that is important, and just, you know, enjoy the laughter, that we do so. I'm not trying to do that hospitality. That is extremely important. But I would like to take us in a little bit of a step higher and sit down with the people that are most forgotten of this world. Because the purpose of all this, using this food, is to allow someone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus came for the sinners. And this is what I'm trying to do in this church here. I'm trying to change a little bit my mindset. I'm trying, when I look at this and I study this, I say, yes, Lord, this is what you called me to do. It's important for me to sit and to call and to encourage you and have you a visit. But my primary focus is the newcomer. The primary focus is the one who is lost. My main focus is the one who has walked away from God. That's where I got to eat with and I got to sit with. And like now they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how a church grows. Amen? How can a church grow if we feed ourselves? Though I'm telling you, it is important to encourage one another. It's biblical. The Bible does tell, build each other up. Go into the house and do hospitality. It does speak about that hospitality. But our main focus is to sit with someone who is far away from the Lord, who has no idea who Jesus really is. And when you sit with them and give them something to eat, now you give them the opportunity, Jesus Christ, into their life. Now, I know this is not kind of message that we would like to hear. We want to hear, no, Pastor, we love to eat together. Yes, but I want to challenge myself and every one of us to invite someone that you never invited into your home, someone you never spend time with, and really hear their heart and invite them to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's why we're here. Jesus has given us the models that he has come for the sinners. Amen? And he's giving us, you got to go out. How could you go out and use food to bring them to Jesus Christ? It's important for us to understand that this morning. Here are some reasons I'm shortening out this morning. Why is he using the food? Why is he using meals? Why is he using the breakfast and the meals to do things like that? It's to display the message of the kingdom. He wanted to give a picture of the message that Jesus was bringing. He have said in the past that the kingdom both declared and displayed. And if we look at in Luke 14, it was the anointing was to proclaim. The anointing of God was upon Jesus to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom has to be proclaimed. And no one else will be saved without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved if you don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That your neighbor cannot be saved if you don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves and transforms the lives of the people. So everything that Jesus did in his ministry was a display of the kingdom of God. And when he healed, he displayed the kingdom of God. And when he delivered, he displayed the kingdom of God. And when he casted out demons, he displayed the kingdom of God. And when he set the captives free, he displayed the kingdom of God. And once he's using the meal sharing, he's displaying the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. So that important meal aspect is extremely important, because once you're sitting down and proclaiming the gospel of someone else, you're displaying the kingdom of God. Am I on the same page with you this morning? I know it's pretty tough, but we need to look at this for this morning with us. In Luke 5:30, it says, but the Pharisees and the scribes were what? Were complaining. Even people in the word, even people in the churches complain and say, why do you eat with that tax collector and sinner? Why do you eat with that person who is so negative? Why do you eat with that person who is so living in sin, who is on drugs? The reason why I eat with that person, so we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to that person. It doesn't mean that I'm going to do exactly what the person does. We're not going to follow them. We're not going to start drinking 24 beers at the same time or a couple of 40s. No, but you get there, you sit with them, have a hamburger, have a french fry, whatever you wanted to call. You sit with them for the one purpose, it to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to that person's life. Because it is only the gospel that transforms people's lives. But food, it always draws people together. Doesn't it? I can tell you one thing. If I was, say, tomorrow night, I may have a just big banquet at my house, we're going to be filled up, please. Because everybody loves food. We all love food. I love food. Does it look like it? And Jesus responds in verses 31. If we look at it, it says, "But I'm the healthy do not need a doctor. If I'm healthy, I don't go to a doctor. I don't go to a clinic. Where do you go? But the sick do. But I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus is answering the reason why he came. He came for the sinner. I come for the sinner. And it only makes sense if Jesus had to heal spiritually, physically, the brokenhearted, and sinners. So it makes sense that he had to have a table reclining with the sinners. I don't want you to take this all wrong and say, the pastor told me I got to go to a club and hang out with the sinners. It's not that what I'm trying to say. You don't have to do what the sinners do. But the purpose of it, you're using food, He used the food to sit with the people, to recline with the people, to have this closeness, this fellowship, so he can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they'll have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listening to him. And you see that in Luke 15:1. All the tax collectors got together. And because they got together, approaching to listen to Jesus. In Luke, Jesus tells us three stories, and I think we know the stories: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and lastly, the parable of the lost son. And we know the one of the lost son, that he took the heritage of all of his father, he took away, he took off, he went, he squandered all his money, he enjoyed his life, he had fun, he danced, he did what he had to do, he had probably all the women and all the stuff that he had. He used, squandered all his father's money, and all of a sudden he comes back to his father. We know the story, yeah? He comes back to his father takes him a robe and ring and so forth, and has a big party and a big banquet. Now, does he deserve that party? No. Did he get one? Yes, he did. Because Jesus came for the lost. It's giving us an illustration. He came for us. He came for that reason, for the lost, for the sinners, the one who is confused, the ones who are far away from the things of God. He didn't deserve it, but he got one by the way. We don't deserve it, but he saved us. Amen? I didn't deserve salvation, but God saved us. And it's the same thing here. The lost son. But let me tell you something. There's sometimes, and you know, the older brother, you know, they're not like that, because he says, and he had no idea why the father was doing that. And the Pharisee and the scribe had no idea why Jesus was sitting down with the tax collector and the sinners. They had no whatsoever idea. But Jesus says, I have come for the sinners. And this older brother had the same spirit as the Pharisee, had no idea why the father was doing that. And sometimes we have no idea why we're doing that. We have a hard time understanding. But we need to be reminded and reminded and reminded that one purpose and one goal is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to be that. We got to be in that way. We got to focus that, say, the reason why I'm here on this earth, yes, Jesus has saved my life, but the reason why I'm proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ so when someone else will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they gave him a massive party and everybody rejoiced, but the older brother was not. Let's rejoice, because when a sinner comes home, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. There's a celebration. There's a party. There's a dance, because one soul came to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. The Son of Man, in Luke 7, it tells the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, look at glutton and the drunken, a friend of a tax collector. They even called him, his reputation was a friend of a tax collector. He had a reputation of bringing a friend to sinners. And let me tell you something this morning here. And if I'm going to be here and preaching every week, and I heard this morning, even sometimes you would say, the love and the laughter. My reputation is the love and the laughter and the caring for the church. But the only way I'm going to have a reputation with the sinners if I get off the platform and I hang out with the sinners. And then people are going to say, he has a reputation of sitting with the sinners. And Jesus had this reputation of sitting with the sinners. Because he wanted to connect with that person. He wanted to speak to that person and speak truth in that person's heart. Now, I've told you this story not too long ago. The Lightest of Montreal North is a nonprofit organization that I've run, that we started in Montreal. And I remember this guy that was in prison for 25 years. If you remember that story, I'm giving to a point here. That 25 years, he came in, I brought him inside that place. We fed them, we gave him love, we give him caring, we give him all the things that we need to do. But it was going to be useless if I was going to give him food but not share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're doing the good deeds. But with time, I sat with him. I prayed with him. We read the scriptures with him. We did things together. He got saved. He accepted Jesus Christ, the personal Savior, was water baptized, and I was involved in the things of the Lord. Now, it's because not only that I gave food, but I became a friend to the sinner. And that's the only thing that we got to do. Yesterday we went out in community. We gave out a soup to the people. Our intention was not just to give out soup and just say, oh, God bless you, have a nice day. But it was to sit and communicate and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the individuals. That was the purpose of all that. It's good to give food, but we got to come with something else, an expectation is I'm going to give food, also give the gospel of Jesus Christ, so they can hear from the word of God. And I tell you one thing. What we've done yesterday, people were exposure. People ask questions, what do you guys do in this church? Who do you, you know, all these questions. This is a great start. Things like that is just plant the seed and allow God to move. But we want to be a friend to these people. We want to be a friend who is far away, the people who are far away from God, so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now we look at this and we can go on here. And if you want to be have a good reputation, like, you got to hang out with the sinners. Not do what they do, but you're going to hang out with them. And they can say, wow, this person hangs out with this with the sinner over here. Let's not complain about it, but say, wow, my purposes of it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to this individual. That's the purpose of all this. So the Bible tells us he was a friend to the sinner. And in Luke 7:36-39, we see that one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Again, that word. He reclined at the table. And the woman in the town who was a sinner found that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. Now she have heard that Jesus was sitting with the sinners. She said, let me go to that place. Let me go there in Pharisee's house. So she brought an alabaster of jar of fragrant oil and stood behind him and feet weeping and began to wash his feet with the tears. She wiped his feet with his hair and head, kissing them and anointing them with the fragrant oil. When the Pharisee who have invited him saw this, he said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know what kind of woman this who is touching him. She's a sinner. Pharisee said, if he were a prophet. The Pharisee had no idea that he was the prophet. The Pharisee had no idea that was Jesus, the Son of God. Because if he knew, he wouldn't have said that. He had no idea, no understand that Jesus had come for the sinner. And the reason why Jesus was there, because he came for the sinner. The woman came to Jesus because she had heard that Jesus was a friend of the sinner. And Jesus, what did he do? He extended grace to her. In other words, Jesus doesn't care which house you are in. You're welcome in. You're welcome in the kingdom. So he extends grace to her. And Jesus is giving us a visual display how it works. Not only feed, but also get to know them as to be a friend. That's pretty tough because we like to invite only people that we know. I admire someone, and I won't mention the name because I don't want to bring all the glory to this person, but I admire as a family in this church and our congregation member brings people in their home without even knowing who they are. They invite them in the house, they give them food, they pray with them, and they stay for their months in that person's house. That's hard to do. You take someone that you don't even know and take them in your home, in your room, in the room of your child or your room. You set a room for that person there and you just sit there and you don't even know this individual. You don't know what's going to happen at night when you're sleeping. But this person is doing what God has called them to do. Bring them in the house, giving them food, and sharing the gospel to that individual's life. Hard to do, huh? How many of us would really just say, open my door, come in. Pretty hard. A lot of faith you have to have there, huh? But the Lord has blessed this family tremendously in finances. The Lord has blessed him in family. The Lord has blessed him amazingly because they take the step and do something that the society don't want to do, but what God is teaching us to do. Was it hard? Of course it was hard. But they do it. Now, let's look at something here for a moment. Christmas comes. Everybody's excited. By the way, I was at a party yesterday, and there was some Christmas music on. I don't understand what was that all about. I heard jingle bells, Christmas time. But here it is, Christmas time comes, everybody's happy. Everybody, there's a majority of people are happy. They're getting ready for the gifts. They're under the tree. Everybody's there. They come with those famous meals, and they're sitting around the table. The kids have their gifts. Everything is great. Family's all together. Then when it comes to maybe 6 o'clock at night, the whole family gets up and goes to an organization, takes them and gives them the soup and helps the poor and gives them another soup, gives the bread, go home, and they're happy. Ah, I did what it was called to do. Now let's look at another picture. Let's look at a different picture. Christmas comes. You invite someone you don't know to your house. You give them food. You give a gift to the children. You open the gifts with them. You look at two scenarios. Which one is the best one? Is it the first scenario or the second one? The second one, because you're giving something to a sinner. And the first one is you're going there and it makes yourself look good. Because you went there, so, wow, I did the good deeds. I went there and I went to this organization. I gave food. Oh, I did my part. But the second part is kingdom. The kingdom ministry is when you invite someone into your place and give a gift to someone is far away from God and give those children and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are two different scenarios right there. Now you're touching the heart of God in the second scenario, but the first one is you're touching your heart. Big difference over there. And we do that on the first one, and it's okay to go out and give food to the poor. I'm not saying anything. We can continue doing it. But all this is we've got to give the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like the second one. The first point, the second point is fulfill the mission of the kingdom. Jesus fulfilled his mission and accomplished good purpose of it. He says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. The answer to the question, why do we do this? Why did he do this? He came to call the people to repentance. Meaning that Jesus called people to repentance was not just an open air preaching. He did that. No. He stood on a boat. Yes, he did. He stood on a boat and preached on a hillside and preached on towns. But the most important thing, we know that this one, Jesus' primary method was calling sinners to the context of sharing meals. He used the food to bring people to Christ. And Jesus knew that there's some people going to be saved by the gospel. And he also knew that by sharing meals, there will be some people that also be saved. Inviting them and asking them to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to want to bring it down and go shorten this for a moment here. And Jesus, when he walked inside the house, what's the first words he says? Peace be among you. Amen? He walked in the house of the sinners. He walked in the house and said, peace be among you. They sat down. He ate. He got the food. He hung out a bit. He reclined with the people. He sat with the people. So I'm telling you the same thing. If I'm going to knock at your door, I'm going to say peace. So I'm just giving you a little illustration. Peace be with you. This week I'm coming to your house. I'm going to eat with you guys. Is that okay? Can I do that? I'm going to eat down and sit down with you. I'm just going to knock on the door. And this is what Jesus did. He went in. Peace be among you. He's giving us, he invited himself over there. And he sat down with the people. He reclined with the people. And he just sat down with the people and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was what? A very little man. A very little man was he. He heard that Jesus was passing by. Okay, you know that Jesus was passing by. So from a distance, Jesus was looking at Jesus from a distance. Remember, Matthew says, follow me. But now to Zacchaeus, he says, I'm coming to your house. There's a big difference over there. I'm coming to your house now. People say, do you know who this guy is? He's the biggest thief you can find. No, but Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. Now, I don't know what happened in that guy's house, but I do know what the scripture tells us. He gave back his money. And then, followed. But he went to the sinner's home. He says, I'm coming to your house. And he spent time in the house of Zacchaeus. Though people had no understanding what he's doing. Do you know who this guy is? He might steal from you. But reason, Jesus had a purpose for that. A purpose for that. And a reason so that he can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to just go to a conclusion today. And I know I have a couple more points, but I want to give you some practical applications because I know time is my enemy this morning. And, you know, when I look at this, it's hard to hear a message like this because we're challenging ourselves to hang out with the people who are not wanted in their homes, to hang out with the sinners, to hang out with the complainers, to hang out with the ones who are stole, to hang out with people that are doing things that are not great things. But remember, God, Jesus used the meal sharing for one purpose, to allow people to hear the Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. Okay? So there's three practical applications. I want to leave you with this. And it's not hard. It might sound some cheesy here this morning. You might say, what is this here? But the first thing is, save a date. Save a date. You might say, but, you know, yeah, save the date. Make it happen. Say, this is the date that I want this person to be. You have to plan it. Save a date. When you want to do something, you got to save a date. It's not just saying that we will do it, but save the date and invite someone for that date. Invite someone to that day that you have a special date. I'm telling you, when we do the practices and we do the things of God, when we follow His role and the model of Jesus Christ, we will never go wrong. We will never go wrong when we feed the sinners. We will never go wrong when we recline with the ones who are far away from the things of God. We will never go wrong. He will always reward us for that. The second thing is another cheesy thing. So save a date and then send an invitation. Invite someone. It's not hard to do, huh? Invite someone. Give a phone call. Send an invitation. Send a letter. Say, you're invited to my house today. And look at this in Luke 14. When you send the invitation. He said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends. Oh, that's pretty tough. Your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back. Sometimes you want to go to someone's house because you want to get back invited and you know you're going to get lobster. You gave them chicken, and now you know, oh, if I go back there, I'm going to get some lobster. But it says, no, don't invite that. On the contrary, it says, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, lame, or blind, and you... Here it is. You will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Isn't that much more beautiful and amazing to know that God is going to reward you? It's pretty tough. Yeah, Pastor, I want to do hospitality. I want to invite my friends. But he's telling us the contrary here. Invite someone who is lost. And the verse 14 is amazing. And when you do that with a right spirit and a right heart, you will be blessed. Don't just invite your friend or people with good prestige. Invite the poor. Invite the weak. Invite your enemies. Invite the worst sinners you can find. The third thing is, bring it to conclusion, set an atmosphere. When the people come over, let's not just complain. Let's not just be downcast. Ooh. What did the Bible say? When the lost brother came back, they had what? A celebration. Celebrate, be excited. Have a party. We make the party happy or we make the party boring. So have a party. Set the atmosphere. When you leave, you know, the atmosphere of blessing, of encouragement, of celebration. So when they leave the meal, they should think to themselves, it must be good to know Jesus. So this morning, I know I missed a lot, and I want to hope and I pray that it wasn't confusing to some of you this morning. But my heart is this. Let's use the model of Jesus. Recline and use food. Recline with the people who are the most forgotten people of the society and allow them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came. It's for the sinners. And He's given us the smalls to hang out with those people, not to do what they're doing, but sit with them, recline with them, speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to them so they can experience life the way you and I have experienced life. Friends, let me ask you this morning, are you eating with Jesus? Are you having fellowship with Him? Are you reclining with Jesus? If you have not this morning, He's telling you He wants to have fellowship with you. If not, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because He wants a party with you. New Hope Christian Assembly, this is what I want to leave with you this morning. Are you feasting with the people Jesus feasted with? This is not complicated to grasp. It is one of the that challenges us. Begin this week, my encouragement to every one of you, Take time for this. Use ministry of meal sharing to declare and to display the kingdom of God. Let's all stand this morning. I know that there was one song that we sung today that really, some meal sharing was there. And I just want to be there where you are. Can we sing that before we go this morning? I just want to be there where you are. Conclude that, and I'm just going to pray after that. We'll sing it.